Let me tell you what you can't do. You can't make the flesh less fleshy.
Dr. Tony Evans says temptation is a fact of mankind's fallen nature.
So stop feeling bad that your flesh wants to be fleshy. That's not the problem. The problem is yielding to it, not having it.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Love, joy, peace, kindness. The Bible tells us these are some of the fruits of the Spirit. Well, today, Dr. Evans talks about the consequences of not allowing the Holy Spirit to produce those fruits in our lives and the steps we can take to prevent that from happening. Let's join him as he begins.
One of the things that I loved to do growing up in Baltimore, and in fact still love to do, is eat steamed crabs. Baltimore and all of Maryland is known for crabs. The Chesapeake Bay harvest millions and millions of crabs at crab parties, crab feasts in Maryland. It is the delicacy of the state. Whenever my father could afford it, he would get us crabs on Friday night, and we would indulge ourselves because we all loved crabs. Now, if you've ever seen crabs being steamed, you will notice something. That when the water begins to get hot, they try to escape. They wanted to get out the heat. They want to leave the boil. But inevitably, as one crab seeks to climb out of the pot, another crab will grab it, pull it down, try to step or climb on top of that crab to get to the top because it wants out of the pot and out of the heat. But inevitably, another crab will see that crab, grab it, pull it down. And instead of working together to hook claws together to help each other out the pot, they all boil because they have become experts in destroying and devouring one another, so that they all wind up in the same place of destruction so I can get my crabs. Paul was concerned about this crab mentality in the church at Galatia. He was concerned about Christians devouring one another. He says in Galatians 5, verse 13, "For you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not use your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." He was concerned that Christians were destroying each other in the church. Instead of enabling, serving, helping, building up, and helping others to gain freedom, they were pulling each other down like the crabs, and he says, "You are devouring one another." This problem we see all around us, culturally, racially, class-wise, gender-wise. And while that may be true in the world, it was not to be normative among the people of God. And that's why this leads him into our next study about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Because we're looking at how he's identified, some of his names. Today I want to talk about his fruit, the Holy Spirit and fruit. Because he says in chapter 5, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit." Here, the Spirit of God is viewed as a fruit-bearing tree. And off of this tree grows love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such, there is no law. The Holy Spirit is a fruit-bearing tree. And it's set against the backdrop of this devouring one another. In fact, he ends this section in verse 26. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. You see the words one another. He's concerned that the household of faith, believers are in such discord, they are being destructive. Rather than being a healing agent, they were a hurting agent. Now, sandwiched in between his concern about devouring, beginning in verse 13, and his conclusion about the one another in verse 26, is his discussion about the spirit and the flesh. The reason why, whether it's in your family or in the family of God, we've got bickering, fighting endlessly, is because people have not discovered the fruit of the Spirit. They don't understand what it is to walk in the Spirit. Instead, we have become professionals in walking by means of the flesh. And so if you want the fruit, what the tree of the Spirit produces, which will address the problem of divisiveness in your life, my life, in our life, as the family of God, if you want this tree to grow up in your heart, in your home, and in God's house, then we must be full of the Spirit because we operate by the Spirit, which he calls walking in the Spirit. The crisis of division has a vaccine. The vaccine to the calamity of chaos among people, particularly among Christians, is the fruit of the Spirit being made manifest because his people have learned to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Now, this can be tall cotton because it's rich theology, but I want to make it as simple as I can so that if you are not living like this, you can begin the process of growing a fruit tree in your soul. Because if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit because you are learning to walk in the Spirit. So let's back up to verse 16. But I say, coming off of the context of your division, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. He says, you have within you, I have within me, a civil war going on. It's a civil war between the flesh and the Spirit. So let's get our terms straight. The flesh is that desire to please oneself independently of God. Let me define that again. The flesh is your desire, my desire, our desire to please ourselves independently of God. In other words, to please ourselves in a way that God doesn't want us to. The Spirit is the presence of Christ within us that seeks to please God, even when it's at the expense of pleasing ourselves. He says the difference between these two is driven by desire. He says that this civil war has to do with a desire, a craving, a burning within to be satisfied. The Spirit wants to satisfy God inside of us. The flesh wants to satisfy ourselves without reference to God. And that leads to an inner clash that every believer has to deal with. So you have sin operating within you, and so do I, and so does every believer, in the flesh. The highway is the flesh. Paul calls it the body of sin. This contaminated thing that produces a struggle, a battle. In fact, one of the ways you know you're spiritual is you're in the fight. One of the ways you know you're growing is you're in the battle. Because he says the spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh wars against the spirit. So this flesh has this desire, and what this desire does is seek to rule us. He says, walk by the Spirit in Galatians 5:16, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So remember, the flesh is driven by desire. The flesh can't stop being the flesh. So what people settle for is flesh management. We know we need to do something about it, so we try to manage it.
Dr. Evans says that's one mistake we make when trying to overcome sinful desires. But there's another, and he'll come back to tell us about it when he returns in just a moment. First, though, we're excited to tell you that Tony has authored a brand new book that goes hand in hand with the material he's been talking about today. It's called Praying Through the Names of the Holy Spirit. Like the messages we've been hearing, this book features an examination of each of the many names of the Holy Spirit, taking them one by one so we can begin to better understand and appreciate how he operates in our lives. Through these prayers, you'll discover the Spirit is a person to be related to, not just a helpful power source to be called upon. For a limited time, we're offering this devotional prayer book along with Tony's 2-volume 12-message audio collection, The Names of the Holy Spirit. You can receive them on CD or through an on-demand digital download. Just visit us at tonyevans.org, make a contribution, and we'll get this package to you as our gift of thanks. Again, that's tonyevans.org, or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that contact information for you after the second part of today's lesson. And this.
Ladies, you can be the architect of your own faith. Join us at the Desperate for Jesus Conference, July 26th through 27th, for an empowering gathering designed for women like you. Dive deep into your spiritual foundation with dynamic speakers and heartwarming fellowship. You'll feel inspired to build your spiritual house at this beautiful event. Don't wait. Visit dfjconference.com to reserve your spot or learn how to watch live via simulcast. That's dfjconference.com.
Another thing that's a mistake is trying to turn the flesh into the spirit, trying to reform the flesh, because they're trying to make the flesh less fleshy. You can't make the flesh less fleshy. We have fat and we have muscle. We try to lose fat, we try to build muscle. Let me tell you what you can't do. You can't turn fat into muscle. Fat is fat. Muscle is muscle. You got to lose fat. You got to build muscle, but you can't change fat into muscle because there are two distinct realities in our physical frame. The flesh and the spirit are distinct. They're two distinct realities in the believer. You were born with the flesh, won't get rid of that till you die or raptured, but you receive the Spirit when you accepted Christ. That's why these words in Galatians 3 are so critical. You foolish Galatians, he says in Galatians 3:1, who has bewitched you? You remember the TV show Bewitched? She did a little nose, okay? Who has tricked you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? He says, you are foolish and you've been duped. Unfortunately, many pulpits dupe people by preaching flesh management sermons instead of fruit-bearing sermons that are designed to show the work of the Spirit that is not trying to change the flesh. What is the Spirit seeking to do? To override the flesh. Let me say that again. The goal of the Spirit, if you're going to see the fruit, is to override the flesh, not change the flesh from being fleshy. He says in verse 16 of chapter 5, he says, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. He does not say, watch this, that you won't have the desires of the flesh, that it will stop wanting to sin, that it will stop wanting to be selfish, that it will stop wanting to disobey. No, he says what the Spirit does is override it. In Romans, I'll refer to this a couple of times, Paul is struggling with his flesh. I want you to read Romans chapter 7, particularly beginning with verse 14, and he's battling. He's got desires he can't control. He doesn't tell us what his flesh issue is, which is good news, because now you can put your flesh issue in it, all right? Whatever your flesh thing is that is independent of God, you can put it in those verses. In fact, he gets to the point of despair. He says, verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Who going to set me free? Because my body keeps wanting to do wrong. Then he comes to chapter 8. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, that's the fruit, Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit. So you see, Paul is saying the same thing. If you want to overcome the flesh, you do it by learning what it means to walk in the Spirit, which doesn't stop the desire of the flesh. So stop feeling bad that your flesh wants to be fleshy. That's not the problem. The problem is yielding to it, not having it, okay? Having the desire is one thing. Yielding to it is another thing. The flesh, he says, is overridden because there's another law, okay? There is a law of gravity. Why, if the law says what goes up must come down, can an airplane take off and not come down until it wants to? Because there's another law, and it's the law of aerodynamics. When you move at a certain speed with a certain amount of thrust, you do not cancel the law of gravity, you override the law of gravity. Gravity's still there pulling stuff down, but the power and the thrust of the plane takes you up and doesn't allow gravity to make the final decision. So it is with walking in the Spirit. When you and I walk in the Spirit, God now elevates us to override what the flesh is craving us to do, which leads not only to self-centeredness within us, but which also leads to conflict with others. So you know the solution to our issues is learning to walk in the Spirit, because then the flesh, no matter how much it desires, won't have the last say so. So the work of the Holy Spirit's fruit, the tree of fruit, can be expanded and expressed in our lives. You remember Grandma? She had the old washing board, right? She would get the washing board out, go up and down and up and down, because Grandma wanted clothes to be clean. And so she would work hard to get the clothes clean on her washing board. But then we were introduced to the magnificent creation of the washing machine. What would you think about a mother today using a washboard when she's got a washing machine? You would have to tell her, you don't need the board when you have the machine, because there's power in the machine that you don't have in the board. The board is totally dependent on your self-effort. The Ten Commandments want clean lives. The Holy Spirit wants clean lives, but they don't use the same method to get there. One is human effort, human struggle. The other is Holy Spirit power and enablement. Okay, you say, well, I want that. How do I get that? Well, he says you got to learn how to walk. Walk in the Spirit. So let me give you the ingredients of walking so that you and I, we, speaking to me too, can start walking in the Spirit and enjoy the victory of fruit, because we're overriding the flesh. When you walk, there is a destination in mind, is it not? In other words, when you walk, you're going somewhere. What is the destination that you are to be in if you're going to be in the Spirit? Here it is, the will of God. The will of God. That means you have to know what God's will is based on God's word, and you have to make movements toward that will. Once you do that, you have flipped the switch, the Holy Ghost switch. You have invited the Spirit into the activity of the atmosphere. Now, if you're saved, you have the Spirit, but you, just like you have electricity, but now you flip the switch on when you are now saying, this is the will of God. I'm going to move toward your will. Your will is my destination. So you've got to have the right destination. Secondly, walking is dependency. That means you're putting all your weight on that leg to take that step, right? So there is a destination, but there also is a dependency. You don't lean on your flesh to move because your flesh doesn't want to go. Your flesh wants to stay back and do the self-centered desire. But once you say, I'm going to do the will of God, you then call on the Holy Spirit. So you've decided on your destination. You've asked the Holy Spirit to empower that decision. And now you begin to take movements that demonstrate you're believing the Holy Spirit to do it. God wants to see your faith. Now, I hear you talk faith. You must now take steps that gives you validation of your faith. So when you now take steps, because you're walking, you now have the right destination, you have the right dependency, you're making right movements, and the Holy Spirit takes over.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking today about experiencing the fruit of God's Spirit in our lives. Now, this lesson comes from Tony's current series called The Names of the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned earlier, we're making this 2-volume, 12-message collection available to you on CD or digital download, along with his brand-new devotional prayer book, Praying Through the Names of the Holy Spirit. They're our gift to you in appreciation for your kindness when you make a donation to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Just visit TonyEvans.org to get your own copy of this powerful, enlightening package. You'll find a link with all the details right on the homepage. And while you're there, take a moment to sign up for Tony's free weekly email devotional. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our friendly team members assist you. Our resource center is open 24/7, so call anytime. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. People often groan in discomfort as they face a difficult experience. And it's in those times that believers see the Holy Spirit stepping into their lives to intervene, comfort, and refocus them. Be sure to join Dr. Evans tomorrow as he explores this significant and encouraging quality of God's Holy Spirit. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.